I this is what you get. The less I talk, the better.
Right. Like in life.
That's what my wife says.
I don't know. That zinger could have been better.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you try again?
No, it's we're going to chalk this up to a wasted opportunity on my part.
Okay.
And I'm going to be better.
Okay.
I'm better than that, Adam.
All right.
Hello and welcome to episode 218 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. And with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
Are you okay, man?
I'm going to gut this one out.
Oh, that's how he does it, everybody. Du bist ein bisschen krank, yeah?
Yeah.
You a little bit sick?
No voice.
No voice. Okay. Yeah. That's important in podcast.
Yeah.
It's more of a, it's not really a visual medium.
Right.
So,
it's like we have a guest co-host.
Or no co-host.
Or that.
Yeah, the ghost co-host.
Right.
Is that a thing?
You get to do what you like to do most, which is hear yourself talk.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Before we get into it, Amazon.
Yes.
People are doing this. We got an email.
Yeah.
From Dennis. Who just said he dropped some serious Benjamins on Amazon.
Wow, what did he buy?
I don't know. He didn't say Benjamins. I said that because that's how the kids talk.
Right.
What did he buy? It's not coming up.
This is riveting.
I know.
I was on the edge of my seat waiting to find out what he bought.
I have no idea why you asked.
I don't know.
Oh, he just spent over $700
wow.
on the Amazon link.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's fantastic.
So that means we get like what, $7?
I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe. No, it's more than that.
Really?
But I don't really know. Maybe it's less than that. It might be less than that. No, it's got to be more. What is seven? Seven's 1%, right?
Yeah.
No, we get more than that.
2%?
Maybe.
All right.
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure on okay. all the... Depends on what he buys. How far into this do you want to go? Like
no,
less,
I'm good. I'm
less
good.
Than we've done so far.
I'm good with your explanation, so...
Let's just back
it's,
this
it's
out.
Less than 100%, though, right?
Let's just... Yeah, they give all their margins over
yeah.
to us. Yeah. Yeah, they're a non-profit. I just want to say, like, that's just one example, and we much appreciate it. So thanks. Thank you, Dennis. Thanks for sending the email, and... thanks for taking the extra time to click through. We much appreciate it.
I hope he's wearing his Two Hosers shirt when he bought that stuff on Amazon.
Yeah, I don't know that Amazon can see. Well, maybe they do look at you through your webcam. Like, no. You don't need to order any more Krispy Kreme, sir. You're good. You're good. You we're going to send you some laxatives and one of those Suzanne Summers Thigh Masters.
Oh yeah, the Thigh Master.
That's a combination that you're gonna get. Yeah,
and maybe some weight loss powder.
Let's not get nasty.
Okay.
I feel like the laxatives would probably take care of that.
Temporary measure.
I went to the swimming pool the other day,
and you got banned for life.
Yeah. There was an incident.
Uh-oh.
It's not photo-related.
Okay.
So this is just a rant on what is going on now. What are we doing here? You know, there was, peripherally, sort of, tangentially, there was a camera involved at the end, but, so that's really what ties it in, but...
Is that your mug shot?
Yeah, that was, it could have gone that direction. At one point, I had a choice to make. And it could have gone that direction. I was pretty furious. So we're at the pool. The whole family, all four of us went on a nice, you know, little afternoon, go to the pool. And I like Germany. I really have no complaints. That's not true. I have lots of complaints about everywhere. It's what gives me my... It's what makes me edgy.
Right.
The complaining. But one of the things I really do not like about Germany is they don't, when you go to the public pool, they tend to not have anybody working at the front. It's all automated.
Okay.
So you go to the little card, like the little machine, it takes like a parking garage. It just takes your money and then spits out a little card that you then put that card into the turnstiles and off, and then you go in.
Right.
And there's no one around. It's kind of weird. But then, so for the sake of the story, you have to know that you can actually buy a multiple pass. Like a multiple, like 10 times, 100 times, whatever it is you buy, right?
Right.
So we bought a family pass. We can use it like 100 times. So you put the card in, and then you need the card. You actually need to put the card in to get out of the pool, to activate the turnstile to get out.
Okay, yeah.
That makes no sense to me.
Right, you're already in.
Yeah, I don't need to like validate to get into life. Like, I'm good now. Like, right. What am I doing? Sneaking into my house?
Yes, okay, yeah.
So anyway, so that's a thing. So whatever. So we have the one card. That's important to the story. So we go in and we're swimming around. We're in the kiddie pool, all four of us, my wife and I and the two kids. And my son, he's a daredevil. He loves, he runs around a lot, but we kind of let him go in the chest deep water because he loves it. He loves running around by himself. Now it's fine until he falls in, like, which is very rare, but when he does, he can't really get up by himself.
Okay, yeah.
Okay? So we stick with him. So my daughter, who's three, and wow, do I wish the terrible twos were back. Because three, this takes it up a notch.
Yeah.
As you know, you warned me, actually.
Yeah.
And so anyways, my son wanted to use one of her toys. She didn't want it. And she just pushed him and shoved him under the water.
Okay.
So, you know, like a good dad, I picked him out first. That was job one, get him out of the water. And then I picked her up and just said, hey, we're going to go take a 5-minute break here. Well, that wasn't going to happen. So she just loses it. Major tantrum, just meltdown in the pool, in the crowded pool. And she's just screaming about how bad daddy is and all this stuff. I said, whoa, calm down. Before I can get her to calm down, just rears back and headbutts me.
Oh,
like just, and good too. Like real, like, so I was torn because on the one hand, it really hurt, but on the other, I was kind of proud of her because she really packed a punch. So she just cracks me in the head and I was like, whoa, I'm stunned. And everyone's kind of looking. And then she rears back and goes again. And I actually had to grab her so she wouldn't get me again. I said, well, that's it. We're leaving. And this is 10 minutes in. To our swimming day. Like, we're
this is just, your wife's not with you. You're just you and the kids.
Well, no. She's with me. My wife's there too.
Okay.
Yeah. So all four of us, all of us are at the pool.
So where's your wife when this is all taking place?
Well, she's with my son.
Okay. So she's now got him.
Yeah.
And you're fighting your daughter.
Yeah. Like 10 feet away. We're not far. Like, I'm just going to take her to the bench to have a little sit down and time out, I think you call it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
She went a different direction with it. And she was like, no, daddy, this will be a time in. Pow. And so that was it. I just said, okay, even though it's 10 minutes in, we were going to stay for another hour and a half. We're going to do some swimming and all that stuff. I said, wrong. We're out of here.
Yeah.
Get up. Let's go. And I'm dragging her. She doesn't want to go. Forget it. And my wife gets up with my son. I said, no, you guys stay. I'm not going to punish him for her. So you guys just stay for like an hour. I don't care how long you want to stay. You stay. But we're going. So I get her, and she is just screaming. Like, it's unbelievable the meltdown that's happening.
Yeah.
But I now have to shower her, get her out of her wet bathing suit, dry her off, find her clothes. We have one locker with all four of our clothes in it.
Yeah.
I have to sift through, find her clothes, put them on, and get out of there. So that was awesome. Like, just the whole time she's having a meltdown in the entire pool. Like, they're just staring at us.
Yeah.
So I get that done. I get her hair dried in the dryer while she's screaming. Now it's time, and I give my wife the key back, and now it's time to go. I'm going to go sit in the lobby and just wait for my wife and son.
Okay.
Here's where it gets hopefully interesting. I can't get out of the pool into the lobby without my card.
Right.
And but my wife, she has the card. She needs the card. So I'm looking around, and there's nobody in sight. This pool is evidently running itself. So So I'm looking there, and the whole time I have Foghorn Leghorn just sounding the fire alarm, like in my arms, right? Like she's just freaking out, won't stop. Again, I kind of admire her stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah.
Her stamina is unparalleled. And so this whole thing goes on. So I wait. I'm looking around. I can't get out. I'm looking around for some help and nothing. And I wait a good couple of minutes. And then up in the corner, I notice there's a security camera. So I'm kind of looking at the security camera. You're like, oh, what? I wonder if anyone's looking at that. Nothing. So I pick my daughter up. I lift her over the turnstiles. And then I do the old, you know, New York 80s cop movie. And I jump over the turnstile.
Okay, yeah.
My feet are on the ground for less than a second when the door busts open and I don't know how to translate it, the Bademeister, the guy who runs the place,
yeah,
comes sprinting out with a furious look on his face. That was not okay what you did, in German. Like I understood what he was saying.
Yeah.
That was not okay what you did. And I said, like, what? And then he repeats himself. And meanwhile, my daughter won't stop screaming. And I just said, hey, do you want to deal with this? He did not. And this is one of those times where, like, I could have fully spoke German to him. But I find it works better to just throw the confusion of English into his face.
Right.
So I go with the English. And then he tells me in German, you know, next time push the button. Like there was some button I didn't see. I saw the button, but it said Notruf, like emergency call. And I was like, well, this isn't really an emergency. Like if the ambulance comes, I'll be embarrassed.
Right.
So, but my whole point was, hey, listen, buddy, if you're sitting there watching me on the camera for a couple minutes waiting for me to do something, just come and help. Yeah. It was very clear that I had issues here and I needed some help. But he waits for that split second and then comes busting out to sort of, you know, ha ha, I got you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was but I let it go. And then for the next 45 minutes, we sat 6 inches outside of his office while my daughter continued to scream for 45 minutes straight. So he got his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Payback.
Well, then the topper is I get home and realize in the melee I left my trunks at the pool. So I'm sure those are... And then my wife phoned, but I'm pretty sure he knew whose they were, and so they must be shredded right now. So...
I think what the moral of this story is you're a bad parent.
Maybe.
No, just to make you feel a little bit better, when Sarah was 3, this is a really brief story, but she had a similar type meltdown at an outlet mall in Washington. Like uh-huh. There's the big one of those, you know, Seattle premium outlets in Tulalip, and we were shopping for, I don't know, whatever, stuff for them. And she
ironically.
She just melted down about something. I have no recollection about what it was over. And I, like you, was just like, all right, like there's people everywhere. Like this is not happening. We're not just going to have this happen here. So I literally picked her up under my arm. Like I was like, I don't know, like carrying a suitcase, like under my arm, because, and she was just uh-huh. she was like swaying and I literally carried her like that for about a kilometer back to the car because the car was nowhere near where we were. And that's a kind of a big trek. And just, she screamed and wailed the whole way, got back to the car where nobody's around. And I just put her down there and she continued to scream and wail. And then I opened up the car and said, in you go. And she went in the car. I closed the door, stood outside the car as she screamed it out for another half an hour until my until my wife and son made it back to the car. And I was just like, I don't know what that was. I don't think it ever happened again to that degree, but it uh-huh. sounds like you had that defining moment where, there's not much you can do other than just kind of clear the way and get out of there.
Well, I started out being really angry at my daughter and confused and all that, but luckily the Bademeister took over and now I just have hate raised for that dude.
Yeah, directed it to him.
Like,
but yeah.
Do you know how often, like, I have 97 passes left on that card. Do you know how much I'm going to pee in that pool? I'm like, off the high diving board, I'm going to pee into that pool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I understand.
There we go.
Yeah, by the time your daughter's 4, that phase, they grow out of that. I used to think my daughter could be might be the exorcist when she was that age. So yeah, no, she's fine now. So
good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. There you go. So yeah, really not fun. And I didn't even bring my camera to the pool, as we talked about weeks ago. It wasn't even like I was going to too. That would so I'm glad I didn't, because I would have just left it there in a hurry.
Right.
Because it was actually the most glorious light in the pool. It was really amazing, and I was kicking myself. But now I'm glad, because they would have been smashed up next to my trunks.
Well, good.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Just what we'll talk about when we get to the photo challenge. Only photos I took were last weekend, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So let's just skip past that for now, and you can tell us if you did any interesting photography.
Well, interesting in that the weather appears to be cracking, and we're getting some spring showing up.
Nice.
Which has been nice, yeah, like getting the sunshine. So we had a day at the playground, so I shot some of that. And then my daughter and I, this is pre-meltdown, we ventured into town. No, that's, it can't be, it must have been post-meltdown. Must have been me trying to buy her love. Yeah, that's what it was. We went on a little daddy-daughter date in the town for pretzels. So, but the good news is, was the sunshine showed up. So, like, just such a different mood in town where everybody's kind of coming out of the woodwork and finding the little slashes of sunshine. Because if you go later in the evening, it's kind of like the picture you took, you know, the pictures you took outside your house where you find the columns of light coming through.
Right.
People actually gravitate towards those in town, so it's pretty funny to see people collecting in those little spots of warm sunshine. So I shot some of that.
And people obviously know what's good late.
Mm. They didn't have cameras. They just meant, hey, this feels good on my face. Yeah.
Oh, I do have something. It's not photography, but it's video related that you might find interesting.
We'll see. Let's see.
Okay, so I have a buddy of mine who's a teacher, and he was wanting to apply for Apple has like a distinguished educator kind of program where you put in an application video and you answer a bunch of essay questions, and then they choose you, and if you get chosen, then you get to go to like a whole course in Florida or something where you get to again essentially learn from some specialists in the field, again Apple related technology stuff, and you get I guess a diploma calling you an Apple distinguished educator. So he really wanted to put in an application for this. He knew some people who'd done it and said it was just an absolute amazing learning experience. And so he had to make a 2-minute application video, sort of, again, trying to distinguish himself. And so he sent, like, he's a good friend of my wife. He actually works with my wife. He knows that I know a thing or two about photography. And so sent his video to for us to have a look at, and I think he was a little bit fishing because he knew I was going to like absolutely detest some of the video work in it
and say here let me fix it.
Yes, exactly. And say, hey, maybe I can give you a hand. So basically that's exactly what happened. And so I went to his office and we filmed a couple of like just short, like, you know, 15, 20 second segments to sort of plug in with his video, and got a chance to use those softboxes, those continuous light softboxes, with some of the bulbs that I bought on Craigslist way back, and super happy with the results.
I was.
I mean, I'm sure he was, because I mean, if I'm happy, generally, I think my self critique about that sort of thing is pretty high. Mm-hmm. But we shot some in his office. I used the 85mm because I kind of wanted to be able to get some nice sort of background blur, because again, I thought that would look more pro for this kind of thing than what the average person would be able to get. So we did that in a tight quarters with an 85 mils, kind of just like a head and shoulder shot at his computer, and used the soft boxes, which amazingly are tungsten balanced. So all I basically had to do to white balance was drop the ambient light, use the tungsten or the bulbs, and then just switch my white balance over to tungsten. It was bang on.
Yes.
So that made it super easy. And the lighting.
You did this at night?
We did it during the day, but his office was relatively dark. Okay, so we had a little bit of window light just coming in behind him, but it didn't seem to throw off the white balance too much. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, the white balance looked great and the video looked good. And I just said, hold real still because our depth of field here is pretty shallow. Right. And yeah, we did a couple in his office and then we kind of put him up in front of a big projector where he's sort of, you know, talking and I lit that as well. And then he meshed it all together with some of the other stuff that he'd taken in schools and classrooms and stuff, and it looked great. So yeah, video. So now that I know how easy that is to use the to softboxes, I mean, not how easy it is to do video, but how easy it is to use those softboxes for video, I'll definitely do that again.
Super. It is relatively simple once you get those softboxes, especially.
And videoing an adult who, you know, takes direction well for video, because like, you know, when you're doing all that manual focusing, you know, mm-hmm. like it's pretty tedious zooming in to the eye, manually focusing it. And then if they move around, then you're like, all right, all over again. It's mm-hmm. very repetitive process, especially with the narrow depth of field that I'm glad he was very cooperative.
Yes. Yeah. Like, well, my kid's whole goal is to, while I'm videotaping them, is to not be videotaped. So that's how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Something different. Yeah.
So now you're a professional videographer.
Yeah. That's all it takes, I guess. Eh?
Yeah. I like the word filmmaker better. It sounds all cooler.
Right. Yeah. I'm a filmmaker. He even put me a credit in his little video, and I said, "Yeah, not necessary." But yeah. he still put a credit in there. So now I can put that on my resume.
Throw it up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Photo challenge.
Yes.
This week. Rule of thirds was kind of a throwaway. I thought about it. It was sort of like, because we talked briefly about it in regards to filling the frame. And I thought, you know, we spoke about rule of thirds very early on.
Yes.
I even went back and looked. I thought it was like in the first 20 episodes. It was episode number 8.
Okay.
Which I think was the first episode that we had challenge photos. I think we didn't start until episode 8 because we didn't really map this out ahead of time. We sort of learned as we went.
Right.
So I thought about it, and I feel like it's not going to happen today, but I feel like we could do a better job with rule of thirds as, you know, we've learned more about podcasting and photography. And I think we could probably do a better job of explaining it, but get into more detail, like more depth with it in the future. What do you think?
Sure.
Nah.
I was going to say that, but then I thought I was going to mm-hmm. yes and today.
No. More meltdown talk with the kids.
Yeah.
The whole topic on parenting.
Yes.
That'll be riveting.
Yeah.
So we'll revisit that, you know, and sort of get into some more advanced stuff with the rule of thirds. But let's get into it. Let's look at your photo first.
Okay. My photo, the fisherman at Gary Point Park in Steveston. So this was kind of one of those situations where I woke up, I looked out the window and I said, oh, it looks like kind of a nice sky. Like, you know, sunrise is happening now at a time frame that kind of works for me in my day on the weekend. So I saw it and I saw, oh, yeah, it looks like it'll be sort of a nice, neat sky. I'm going to go down to Gary Point. So I just head down there with my camera. I took a zoom lens figuring I was going to shoot maybe a bird or something like, you know, this time of day. Yeah, there's a bird in the photo. I thought maybe I'll shoot a bird. I'm going to just take the long lens and I'm just going to go down there and see what the sunrise looks like. So went down there. And right where I get out of my car, I look down and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I've never seen this happening before. There's a bunch of fishermen perched off on the rock. So I said, perfect. I'm just going to line this up and this will be my rule of thirds. So this all happened pretty bing, bang, boom. I took this shot. I just tried to kind of compose them in sort of the... I kind of overdid the rule of thirds a little bit to make it more obvious. I kind of positioned them in the top third and then off to the side and on a third. And I composed this shot because I like the rocks and sort of the green kind of mossy look across the rocks. I really like the rocks and I try to use that big rock to kind of frame the frame the photo again. Landscape mm-hmm. stuff, not a strong suit of mine. So I was just trying to, again, look at the things in the frame that I could use to frame it. And then I took, I don't know, probably 20 photos of these guys, just slightly changing angles and whatnot. And I like this one because of the bird above, and it just sort of, it speaks to me as far as where I live. So I like photos like this because I look at it, I know immediately where that is. I get a sense of home from looking at this photo. And again, it was just kind of one of those things that I didn't really know that this was a thing that these guys would sort of, you know, come here. And it's not just the guys in the frame, all the way around on the other side of the rocks and where there's the big fishing monument, there's like probably another 10, 12 guys.
Are you allowed to?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Don't care. I just thought it was cool.
Because generally, I think, I mean, I don't know. I'm not, you know, the police, but I think you have to have a license, obviously, but there's seasons, and maybe they're doing a bullhead derby. I don't know.
I have no idea. I saw them pull out just a couple of little fish, just real small. So it's kind of things that you'd use for like bait or something. But I just thought this was kind of a neat scene, something I had never come across. And
do you know what the bullhead derby is?
It
used to be a thing. It's a big thing in Steveston was that going down to the bullhead derby. They would pull these little, you know, bottom feeding fish, like they're not really, you can't eat them or nothing like that,
right?
And they're called bullheads, and basically biggest one, like all the kids would go in it, and the biggest bullhead would win some sort of a prize. I don't even know if they do it anymore.
Oh, I've never heard of it. So.
Yeah. So no, I like this. I also feels like home to me. It's the, like the colors, the like you said, the green on the rocks, but also the way the colors of the mountains in the background and I mean, blending with the ocean. That's the river, where the river meets the ocean.
Yeah,
if we're being very specific, which is pretty interesting, because salt water meeting fresh water and all that stuff. And rule of thirds is bang on with the fishermen are right on that point, like with the intersection.
Right.
You even have, whether you did it on purpose or not, I'm guessing no, you have that single rock on the bottom left that sticks out is pretty close to that mark as well. That kind of provides an anchor. So you have like what's going on from that high rock on the right hand side, going all the way sloping down to the other third, so it's that kind of diagonal angle to it.
Yeah, not intentional.
There you go. So that's the only nitpick, and this isn't a nitpick. This isn't really a nitpick for me. I'm pre nitpicking other people's nitpicks.
Okay,
is that the horizon where the ocean meets the mountains there is right dead center. I mean, if you really were going to be a stickler, you could have tried, probably unsuccessfully, to put that in one of the thirds, probably the lower third, by squatting down lower, but then I don't know how that would affect the rest of the image.
Yeah, and I've put that horizon in all different spots. And I like this mostly, I chose this one mostly because of where the bird is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and it, like again, I could have that horizon. I have that horizon in the lower third, but just no bird. And I like the way the horizon points right to the people, like mm-hmm. I like that angle. Again, it just was a personal preference. I have 20 other versions of this photo, and they're rods at different angles and blah blah blah. But yeah, this is the one I chose because of the bird primarily, and just I liked the people just sticking up above the horizon this way. Yes. So
no, yeah. I agree. This is having not seen the other ones, I would still say I like this one, even though that nitpick. I that's not a nitpick I even care about. I would shoot this myself like that.
Now there was another photo, and I put this in the box to talk about as well. I don't know if should we talk about it before we get to your photo.
Go ahead.
Well, I circled around behind the fisherman. So after I took this photo, I thought, okay, let me just see what it looks like from another angle, because the sun's coming up, but you just see some of the glow of the light from this angle, but the sun's coming up from a completely different perspective. So I walked around behind them, and then I shot them in essentially silhouette, looking into, you know, the sun coming up. And I really like the colors that you get from the different perspective. And I like the silhouette perspective because of where the rocks are and where I was positioned. And obviously I didn't want any of them to fight me. So, I was far enough away that because of the angle, I couldn't really compose a real rule of third shot from where I was, because mm-hmm. they're all kind of below where the rocks are. And it just didn't really work for me, but I really liked the photo anyway. So I wanted to just share how just a simple, you know, change of angle completely gives you a different look as far as the photo's concerned. So there's the silhouette with much brighter colors and looking at the boats. And in previous photo challenges, I've used that little lighthouse that is off on the right side of the frame. Mm-hmm. And then you see Mount Baker clear as day looking straight ahead. And, yep. And the way the clouds look, I mean, hard pressed to think that those photos are taken about 2.5 minutes apart, right?
Right. That's one of my favorite things about shooting well, that time of morning, but this time of year too, is you really get that huge variance in what you can shoot just by changing your perspective. And this happens to be one of my favorite places to go. I mean, because for me, this is home, even though it's different than when I grew up around Steveston. It has changed a little. But being down here, it's such a great place to go, and seeing that view in of the Steveston Village, like the wharf. What do you call it? Is it the wharf?
Yeah, I think you'd call it the wharf. I think that's even what it says.
The landing. Sorry, it's Steveston Landing is the proper term.
But then they have a big sign that says wharf.
Oh, okay. But seeing that and Mount Baker, which is in America, by the way.
Yes.
It's about, I guess, 4-hour drive, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a hike, but that's always seeing Mount Baker, like it's always, you know, it's a nice clear day in Vancouver when you can see that far, because you can't see Mount Baker every day.
Right.
So it's nice to see the snows of the volcano. So like, you know, this to other people might not mean a lot, but I know to you and to me, it means an awful lot about that area. So great. Love it.
There you go.
All right. Here's mine. Not quite the same vista that you had,
right?
But no, this was one of the days that the other day when the sun poked out and I was walking around town with my daughter, and I just saw some interesting light. And I've kind of made a habit of whenever we see interesting light, whenever I see what I would call beautiful light to her, like the sun is setting and the sky's lighting up, you know, nice colors, or we're seeing light just around the house, like coming in. I pointed out to her and said, wow, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? And she's at the point now in between meltdowns where she actually points it out to me now.
Yeah, nice.
And says, hey, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? And it's not. Usually it's like some crappy fluorescent, but I like where she's going. And so she will point that out, like, oh, look at the way that light hits. And so now that when this light showed up, we were walking around town and this was actually light that was shooting through a corridor off a building across the street, hitting a window and bouncing down into this area. And this is kind of right in the old town, just a little off to the side, like sort of a little bit of an alleyway. And I just saw the light and thought, oh man, that's going to look really cool. And so I said, hey, let's go up there. And she actually did, because she seems to appreciate the light now, or pretends to for me. It wasn't that much of a struggle to get her to participate, which was kind of shocking.
Yeah.
But this was it. This is what I lined up and fired away. I only fired a few shots at this because I knew exactly what I was looking to get, and it was this.
Nice. I like it. I like all the texture in the photo of the building, and you know, the color is really nice and vibrant. She sticks out. There's a nice contrast with her colors versus, you know, sort of the muted tones of the building. I'm sure because of, you know, the way the buildings look, this certainly obviously speaks to you about where you are. The only thing I don't like about the photo is just that pole on the edge of the building with that blue, whatever taped, I don't know, is it an advertisement or something that's kind of taped up on that pole, whatever.
Probably.
That is.
Yes.
That's the only thing I find it a bit distracting. The rest of the photo I absolutely love. And I don't know, because obviously you're going for rule of thirds. So based on where she was standing, where the light's coming in, I don't know if it's something you could avoid. Some people might like it, but
I could have avoided it. Now here's the thing is, in terms of rule of thirds, she is standing right on that right-hand axis, up and down, the vertical.
Yeah.
Her right eye is exactly in the intersection of the horizontal top, horizontal third, and the right vertical third.
Yeah,
and I've got it pretty close in camera. Like, I knew exactly what I wanted. I got it within, you know, just a little bit. I had to crop it a tiny bit in aperture just to make it perfect, because I was going for exact in this case.
Yeah.
When I was framing it, I was completely aware of that drain pipe. I saw it. I could have framed it out, but something about it kept telling me, no, leave it there. I want to see around that corner a little bit.
Yeah.
Not all the way around the corner, but I want there to be, I didn't want it to be a flat wall. I wanted to be the little hint of, hey, there's something else around here.
Yeah, and that's fine. I think that's just a preference thing, right? Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with including it. It's just the, I think if it did not have that advertisement on it, it wouldn't bother me at all. It would just blend in with the other colors. It's just because there's that blue mark there, I just keep looking at it because it sticks out so much from the rest of the photo. Because otherwise, you'd think all your attention should kind of go on your daughter's face here. But it's just, also, I think it's because of the direction her face is turning. I can't stop looking at that blue point on the screen. Or even if you just more or less like photoshopped it to look like the rest of the pole, then I think even that would completely fade it into the background.
I'll tell you what, I will this week, Tuesday, we'll call it. I will mute the colors on that blue and just turn it in, like just pull them out on that specific sticker, and we'll post them side by side and see what people think. I like hearing what people think on these sorts of things. So,
and maybe, like you say, it's just a personal like feel thing. Like, I don't know. Like you say, you looked at it and it didn't bother you at all.
No. And I mean, for me, like there's so much else going on and it's such a an unconventional pose that my daughter is striking that it's not a pose. She's kind of just doing her thing.
Deer in headlights, I would call this.
A little bit, but she's taking direction. I told her, you know, where to stand and where to look.
Freeze tag.
It might be what it is. But we got, you know, the nice catch lights in her eyes, the way the light falls off on her face. And, like, for some reason, she's got her hands tucked into her sleeves.
Yeah.
Which I just find, like, you know, sort of what little girls do, you know?
Yeah.
And so it is, I don't have any other photos of her like this, which is kind of what stuck out to me.
Do you have any of those, this is going off on a tangent a little bit, any of those shirts? Sarah, it's a very common thing now that they have shirts where your thumb sticks through the bottom of the sleeve so that essentially it's like this on purpose.
Right, like the running, like so your thumb sticks out though.
Your thumb goes through the sleeve so that your hand is mostly covered by the sleeve.
I think my wife has those for running, but we don't have them for the kids yet.
Oh, it's a total kid shirt thing. So Sarah loves shirts like that. So there you go. Maybe you'll get some hand-me-down sleeve shirts.
Yes.
Hand sleeve shirts.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So there you go. So with this in mind, I thought about, you know, what should we talk about this week? And I wanted to talk about grit. Just the kind of gritty sort of backdrop. Because oftentimes, like, especially with our kids or with whoever... And living in Vancouver, especially, because, you know, there is grit to find, but Vancouver, relatively speaking, is such a new city and has just such amazing backdrops of the forest, of the, you know, the mountains, of the ocean, that you don't often think about, hey, let's do something gritty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people do. I know Amber does, and, she, you know, it goes to Yale Town or Granville Island or something like that. But so often we search out pristine backdrops, or like a smooth white backdrop, or maybe nice grass. But what about the gritty side? Shouldn't we think about this some more?
Sure,
let's do it. Okay, all right, drive safe.
Okay, good night, everybody.
But see, one of the things I do like in Vancouver proper, like in like not in the outlying areas, are the back alleys of Vancouver. Depends on the neighborhood. Downtown east side, not so much. But other alleys, like on sort of the west side, you get these really kind of amazing looking back alleys.
Right.
Have you ever seen Da Vinci's Inquest, the TV show?
No.
They do a very good job of sort of shooting these. Now, they do in some bad neighborhoods too, but it's a very distinct thing, like the way like the telephone poles kind of run, and it's kind of awesome. It's like there's this complete symmetry mixed with total chaos, and that's what I like about it. It's that kind of gritty feeling about it. There's dumpsters, there's all kinds of stuff that just kind of is there. So I also like the juxtaposition of
that's
something
a fancy word.
Also
juxtaposition.
Oh, sure. I had to Google it.
Yeah. Wanna let us know what that means?
Well, I'll use it in context, and then you'll figure it out.
Okay.
I like the juxtaposition of something nice in a gritty setting. So it's like a contrast sort of
thing. Oh, a contrast. You could have just said that.
Yeah, but then you get confused with actual contrast. Yeah. So, but it like I was thinking about it, like what is it that makes it gritty? Like what is it that makes it a gritty setting? Is it dirt? Doesn't Maybe. Have to be. I mean, with the picture of my daughter, it is. There's the dirt on the window, and it looks like kind of like an abandoned area, which it is, except it's not really. Like, it's probably, like, there's been construction going on in this particular street where my daughter was shot there, and that's why it's not neglected, but it's not exactly the number one place where tourists go.
Right.
It's literally 100 feet from where the tourists are, but it's just not one of those things. Hey, you know, maybe next year when they're done construction. So, but the fact that that's dirty is great, but it doesn't always have to be dirt necessarily, you know, or urban decay, which, you know, can be interesting. But my kind of preference is a nice, pleasant dilapidation.
Okay.
For example,
I was just going to say, I like, graffiti. We call that gritty.
We do. You know what? I put a note down. And I take the opposite stance. I'm not a huge fan unless it depends on the graffiti.
Well, it has to be well done. It has to be art. There's graffiti that looks just like, hey, like, you know, like anything, like, oh, a 5-year-old did that. Yeah. Or there's graffiti that looks like an artist did that. And I love graffiti done well. I just think it's part of like the urban backdrop.
Yes, I agree. It's not my preference. I like good graffiti that has been around for 5 years. And then
what about longer than 5 years? Like
no, 5 years exactly. Like I go at the 60-month mark. I go and find that's it. I walk away. The day later,
time to paint over that. Yeah,
yeah. Get rid of this. No, like at least 5 years. Like some where there's some sort of it's sort of become part of the landscape, and it's not new and contrived. Like oh, here I painted this on. It's something that I don't know. Without sounding overly artistic, it sort of has to have become part of the natural surrounding and be worn down a little bit.
Okay.
My favorite example of a nice, pleasant dilapidation is like an aged or aged?
I'm going to go with aged.
Okay. Picket fence. Like a white picket fence. If you go to a brand new white picket fence and shoot it, it's going to be fine. Probably a little sterile. But it'll look pretty nice if you put it against the blue sky and all that stuff. But if you get that sort of slightly aged with the paint maybe, you know, peeling a little bit or chipped and a little bit of time has passed, it, to me, makes it automatically more interesting.
I agree.
Okay. What about barns? Barns or sheds? Because I know that when you go up to see the in-laws, they have barns and sheds.
They do.
Tractors?
Yes.
Tractor's new, though, isn't it? Newish?
No, old.
But it looks pretty good shape, though.
No, it looks really old.
It could do some sit-ups. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But the barns, like I've actually shot some photos, and I've sold some photos that one in particular that I've shot at your in-law's house, I've sold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the license plates. I happen to like when they hang the license plates on the barn or the shed. Yeah,
I agree. That's what I thought about. It's something that gives it character, that makes it different than just the average.
Character. That's a great, I didn't even write that down. That's a great way of putting it. Is when your backdrop, because oftentimes this isn't the subject of your photo, it's the background.
Right.
And thus, if your background can become a character or have character, that's a whole other dimension to your photo. Now, oftentimes, actually, that's not true. Oftentimes, it can be the main subject, you know, if you're taking a nice landscape. And up around that area, I do recommend people, you know, visiting British Columbia, go to the interior as well. There's lots of great stuff up there. But for me, when I see these barns or whatever it is, I like the sort of faded colors. Like sometimes the paint is really, like maybe it's a blue that's faded.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, especially if it's uneven. That's kind of what I look for. If it's kind of an uneven fade with, you know, splotches and stuff like that, you know, the battle's half won. So.
Okay.
I'm going to coin a new phrase for it.
Great. Let's hear it.
Organic neglect.
How about aged neglect?
No, organic, because it has to happen on its own. Because like my dad makes furniture, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he really likes that sort of aged look, and so he does. I've seen him build beautiful like pine like chests or crates essentially. Okay. Like a seaman's chest. I don't know what you call that.
Yeah, no idea. Just keep talking.
But you've seen it, anyways. But he built it. It was beautiful, and he finishes them beautifully. But then he takes a length of chain and bashes it up, and he takes a piece of wood with a little nail just poking out. And just hammers all over it. There's little nail pokes in the entire thing. And he has a whole different way, you know, whole way to basically rough age this thing 200 years in the span of 25 minutes. And it looks awesome. I love it. I love the fact that you can have that furniture and my kids can go play on it and they're not going to ruin anything.
Right.
However, it doesn't look quite the same as having a 200-year-old sea chest.
Right.
Which can be very expensive, and we don't have one, so this is a nice alternative. But for me, it's that's what with graffiti I don't like as much. I mean, I like graffiti, but in this context, I don't like it as much because for me, at most times, it's not an organic neglect. It's kind of like a very specific. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to project this art. Whereas things left alone and just used, things that are used but not abused, have a sort of passage of time in them. And as you said, they develop a character of their own just through this sheer passage of time.
Whew. Wow.
Yeah, I'm getting way too... I feel like even I don't like me right now.
Something to think about.
Well, I like old buildings too. Like, do you like shooting new buildings or old buildings?
Not really a thing for me, to be honest.
Again, Vancouver, I mean, living here, we have buildings that are like 600 years old.
Yeah.
You know, that are still around. And, you know, in Vancouver, if a building's 50 years old, they're tearing it down.
Yeah,
it's, you know, true. Not really. Well, true-ish. But so there is that kind of built in. We have new stuff here, too. I'm not suggesting it's all, you know, cobblestone streets and whatnot. But I really like shooting the old buildings. And I really like shooting train stations, like old ones.
Yeah.
I dare you to try and find something. Go take 10 interesting photos at a SkyTrain station.
Yeah, no, it's not good. I tried, remember once upon a time, one of our early photo challenges, and it was just dreadful. And you ripped me apart because of how ugly the background scenery of Richmond was.
Uh-huh. It is. Oh, that's right. But even in the station itself, I find the stations to be, you know, they are functional. I'll give them that. They do function as stations. But even the downtown ones, because the SkyTrain's been around since the mid-80s. Not the Richmond line, but the other line.
Right, yes. Yeah.
It's for, you know, so it's coming on 30 years old. So it should have a sense of age to it. It doesn't. The mid-80s were kind of a bad architecture for me. I'm not a fan, especially what they did in Vancouver. But it just isn't a thing. Now, I love going, like, if you go to the Tube in London, that's another story. I mean, not every station, I don't think. I didn't go to all of them. And some were definitely, you know, the newer ones or refurbished were not as interesting as the older ones. Or the train stations in like, say, East Berlin. If you end up going to East Berlin, anyone who's listening, or go to Berlin, because it's not really, it's just Berlin now.
Okay.
Don't know if you knew the wall came down. Thank you, Hasselhoff.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, but you definitely know, like when they split the city, there was an east and west, and you can still see the east in the East Berlin part. And so if you like, I really enjoyed going to all those old train stations, you know, and there's new things that, you know, have been updated, but there's that whole kind of feel. And again, that organic neglect, even though it's not neglected, it's just used, that is just automatically visually interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to the juxtaposition part, though.
Okay, I can't wait.
It doesn't have to be, like, you don't have to think of this as like a time capsule shot. That's mostly what I'm talking about, is like you're shooting stuff that, oh, this is built, you know, in 1851, and thus you kind of have that time capsule aspect to it.
Right, right.
You don't need that. For what we're talking about, for shooting grit, is you can look just for something even new that's kind of got that gritty feel, so you now have a simple fish out of water kind of thing, like maybe like a really pretty girl, maybe a bride in her wedding dress, but in a grungy locale.
Yeah, I like that look.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's why like that and that sort of trash the dress thing have become sort of popular. It's because it's kind of alternative, but that's why you see a lot of wedding photographers doing the portraits down in Yale Town in Vancouver. Very Vancouver specific episode, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Love Vancouver.
Except for the East Berlin part. But you go down to Yale Town and you can find a little bit of, you know, you find old bricks, you can find kind of gritty back alleys, you can find all kinds of this stuff. And then two steps later, boom, you're on the water, you got False Creek. Yeah, it's False Creek.
Yeah.
And you have that option too. But it's the gritty part that's become very, very popular. And it is also what I didn't write down, but you nailed it too, is that texture of the background, that it's really there. It adds to the photo, but it doesn't take away, besides that pole, doesn't take away focus on your subject.
Correct.
It doesn't have to be a girl either. It could be a guy in a nice suit. Think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it right now.
So that's it. But I think the big takeaway for me is just try to add a little more grit.
I think that's a good point. And it is one of those things that I guess you probably think about more because you're around it a little bit more. Certainly, I think about where I live in Richmond, and I don't think about grit. It doesn't, you have to look for it. You have to look hard for it. Because like you say, everything has become so new and modern, mm-hmm. and you have the waters and the mountains right there. And so instinct is to use all of the beauty that's there. But like I say, mix it up. Look for grit.
Mm-hmm. I think the challenge, especially where you live, is that the grit is kind of just dirty.
Yeah.
Like it's not visually, like there's nothing visually interesting on its own about a dumpster, unless you're willing to shoot inside the dumpster.
I'm not willing.
I am not willing either. I'm not that interested in photography. You know, but finding that sort of stuff downtown, I mean, if you venture in downtown, and even not even necessarily, you don't have to go all the way downtown, like, but just kind of, you know, towards that area, anywhere in Vancouver itself. By nature, it's slightly older than the outlying areas. And so you're going to have that sort of basic built-in grit.
Okay.
So there you go. So next week's challenge.
Don't make it grit.
It's going to be grit.
Oh.
How is it not grit?
Oh, my kid's having a birthday party this weekend. Can we make it birthday?
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
How about we make it flash?
Like, because you're having the flash birthday party.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not do that. No, I guarantee you can find grit somewhere.
Oh, for heaven's sake, grit. Yeah.
I'm going to end up doing it 2 weeks in a row, and I'm not going to recycle any images either. So, there's that.
All right.
It's grit it is. Websites, where can people find your grit photos, Adam?
Maybe they can find them on adamschwartz.ca or maybe on Two Hoser's Facebook site. And how about yours?
Maybe. I'm going to post mine there too.
Okay.
adamschwartz.ca. or you can find my stuff out at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find out all the links and the photos and everything we just talked about. So that's it, Adam. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.